Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 48th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Radelphine Katabeja. She has lived in the U.S. for less than a year. Radelphine was on this show last August, and she's back today to talk about, in a more focused way, about her work as a human rights lawyer in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Welcome back, Radelphine, and thank you for being willing to come through the snow and on the air with me today.
Thank you, Kate.
You are a lawyer, and I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about how human rights has played into your law practice.
Thank you very much, Kate. I'm glad to speak about that today with you and with all those who are listening for us. I'm a human rights lawyer. I can't say that I'm a human rights lawyer. I'm not specialized in human rights law, but I'm a lawyer because I studied law and I'm a private law. And among courses I had in my my courses in the university, I had a human rights law. It is a course which I studied. I am a human rights lawyer by my experience, because after my studied, I oriented myself in human rights according to the context, the area in which I was living. That's why I have chosen to do human rights law. I'm a human rights lawyer by experience. Yeah.
And can you just say a little bit about the area you were living in and why that influenced your choice?
Yes, Kate, as you said before, I'm from the east of the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo. And human rights in my country are really, really, it's a subject that has a lot of concern, because in America, maybe you don't have idea about what means human rights, because you live, you have your basic rights, and everybody have to respect it, and they respect it.
There are rights and our laws. Like the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all worked into our legal system.
Yeah, in the legal system. In our country, we also have a legal system. And the human right is universal for all the world. We have a special look at that field because of the situation in our countries, because human rights are not respected there. And when I talk about human rights, you know, there are basic rights for everybody, like the right to live. I think you know the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. There are kind of rights that everybody must have. Right to live, no discrimination, health, nutrition, housing, all the rights, all the basics rights that everybody, everywhere you are, no matter with your sex, your religion, so everybody must have those basics rights, and every government have to make sure that everybody get that rights.
Those rights are protected in practice.
Yes. Yeah. That's why things are are making attention in our countries, African country, a lot of African countries, especially my country, because of wars and culture and general situation in our country, a lot of people don't have those rights. Our government, because of corruption, our government don't protect those rights. That's why I was working in that field, and it was hard because you have to wake up every time the government, because the government has the responsibility to respect, to make sure that everybody, to protect those rights. You know, in our country, people die because they don't have something to eat. Any politics about housing, about health, people die because of missing medicine. People die because of missing affordable health. People die just in disorder. So the basic rights are not protected. And even in families, discrimination between women and men around our culture, different tribe, different ethnic, that discrimination is still there, and governments don't protect that. So that's the problem in our country. And yeah, that's why it's hard.
Yes, it makes it very hard. And just yesterday, you were telling me about part of the culture, that how it was practiced in your family, and in every family, right? With the girls being responsible for taking care of the boys, and the boys' education coming before the girls, and that setting up a cultural imbalance.
Yes, yes, exactly, Kate. That question, it's bring me to speak about how I became excited to do human rights. Yeah, it's like that it began for me, because even in my family, since I was young, when I was seeing, watching how they treat, even my parents treat my brother and treat me, there is a big difference. Since in the family, there is a big discrimination between girls and boys in the family. We were just six sisters, six girls, and one brother. But it's like every one of us girls, we are working for our brother, and our brother has preference of all, advantage of all. And I was wondering every time, why this? Why my brother can have this, me no? Why my brother can have this advantage, this favor from my parents, and we all are children? How he must have this and me no?
Where's the equality and the justice?
Yeah. So I began to ask those questions since I was young.
You were born to be a lawyer.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, that's why I was wondering one day, can I change the things one day? Because it's not normal. I began even to touch the skin of my brother, see that he's more human than me.
You were checking maybe his body out. Are you more special?
Yes. If it's special, if I'm less human than him, maybe. So it was my question every time. That's why I said in my life I'm gonna do law, and to do something so that the justice can be in families, in societies. Yeah, that's why I did law. And I could be, I am, as I said, a private lawyer. And when I went, after my studies, I went in the system and I began to plead for people. it was hard because of the corruption. Even the justice in my country is a corruption, and you can lose your justice because you don't have money, because you're not from a big family, you're not from a given space. And again, another problem. Yeah, from my family to all the system is broken. That's why I said no. I can't accept that I go to do my work and I have to lose every time just because of a broken system. So I oriented myself in human rights so I can bring people to think about themselves, their rights, and how to do all by themselves, to teach them so that they can know that they have. Because, you know, everything we were living, even in families, that those kinds of discrimination, you know, people know that it's normal. Everybody take it normal. And if you want to tell someone that it's not normal, it's hard for him to believe you. So that people need education, you know. And in our country, people don't, most of the half on the population don't go to school. So no education. So they think that things they are living are normal. That's why I said no. I have to come back in community, teach community about their rights, work in human rights, work to bring good government, move and try to protect human rights, people's rights, because it's their rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how you make real for me the philosophy called feminism or feminist theory. Their big line is the personal is political. And I think you felt that growing up. What was happening personally to you and your family ends up being kind of what's wrong with your family system, but what's also wrong with your community and your state nation system.
Yes, it's just that. And, you know, even in families, things are like that. It's because we have not a government who protects that. Because if people know that they have laws which limit them to do some abuse, they can stop doing abuses. So when they know nothing will happen even if they do abuse, you know, that's why they do that. And especially for women, that's why I was working in human, in especially in women rights. Women, Kate, you can't imagine how women have suffered in our country. There is an evolution now because of some movements, feminist movements, who are working on that things. But I can tell you that in former times, women were taken like things, and then people like me, like everyone, we who saw that situation, we were working on that, and it's good, but because it's coming, but we still have a lot of work to do on that. Yeah.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Radelphine Katabeja. We carefully selected this date to have Radelphine come back on the air because we wanted this opportunity to promote an event called 1 Billion Rising. And, 1 Billion Rising is a movement that's happening all over the world. It started in 2013. Eve Ensler, who wrote The Vagina Monologues, started a movement in which the Vagina Monologues were usually performed on Valentine's Day all over the world, and it raised awareness, this kind of education you're talking about, this feminist practice. And And it has evolved over 15 years to also include this event called 1 Billion Rising. I wonder if you could describe for us what that is.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. I also know 1 Billion Rising. This it began in 2013. It happened just about 1 year after me to meet Evan Slayer, because I have met her before that when she came in my country, especially in my own time, to look for the situation about women violences in that part of the world. And then
can I just say right there, if people are familiar with Eve Ensler's work, her City of Joy is in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, and that is how she was in the region where you worked and where you met her.
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. She built, because even the City of Joy were building. I saw how it was building. I met Evan Slayer before she helped building the City of Joy. And after coming, her first travel, I met her in her first travel in east of the Congo. And after that, after seeing the situation, now she began the process to build the City of Joy, and now it is working. And then she initiated that campaign, 1 Billion Rising. It is a big campaign around the world, and a good one, I think. One of the good campaign which give women a space to express and to say no for all the violences that they are victim of. And 1 Billion Rising just has three principles. The big three principles of 1 Billion Rising is strike, rise, and dance. Yeah, people can wonder how those principles. Yeah, as I said, 1 Billion Rising is a big campaign around the world and put together women everywhere around the world. And
can I just interject there?
Yes.
Okay, so if you are unfamiliar with 1 Billion Rising, you can go to 1billionrising.org and learn all about it.
Yes.
The 1 billion comes from the fact that one in three women in the world will be beaten or raped in her lifetime. And if we have 7 billion people on this planet, that makes 1 billion who will be beaten or raped. And the idea here is to rise up, strike, meaning stop what you're doing, don't work, come together, rise up and say no more.
Yeah.
And then dance and celebrate our beauty, our womanhood, the creative energies we have to give to the world in a more productive way when we're not repairing ourselves from violence.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, that's what you say. So we have to get a time to stop working, because even in our work, we are violated. Even a lot of women around the world can't get a good job because they have to be... to have an arrest because before to get a job by their bosses, they have to rape them so that they can get a job. Around the world, everywhere, we had violences against women, so that we get a time to stop working, to rise, to say no. We need the violence stop, because it's enough. And the dancing, we just need a space to express ourselves, because I can meet everyone. We don't have the same language. We are from not the same culture. Everyone his culture, everyone his language, but we can express ourselves by our body. The same body they destroy when they rape us, we can use it to get a space to express ourselves and then with us.
And the universal connection of dancing is so powerful. Yeah. I couldn't help but weep when I looked at the website. They have videos from previous years, which they've cobbled together. The women dancing in Manila, Philippines. The women dancing in Cape Town, yeah, South Africa. The women dancing in San Francisco, USA. Mm-hmm. New Delhi, India. Hanoi, Vietnam. St. Andrew, Jamaica. Ramallah, Palestine. Taipei, mm-hmm, Taiwan. You're not able to kind of fathom what this music, yeah, there's one song that everybody plays, which we'll play for you later, and there's one dance, which, yeah, you can learn on the website and join the women, yeah, that get together. And as I say on their website, they meet at places where women should feel comfortable, but where they have not always been comfortable, including courthouses, government offices, mm-hmm, schools, places of worship, and other public places. Yeah. Including places of environmental injustice.
Yes.
Because these two kind of go hand in hand. When you mistreat women, you mistreat the earth, and the other way around.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that's why One Billion Rising, it's a very big campaign. And we are celebrating it this week because it's on Valentine's, on 14 February. So everybody can celebrate it wherever she is or he is, because now there are some men. It is a campaign initiated by Evans Lair from V-Day movement. And today we have a lot of V-men. We call them V-men.
I love it.
Yes.
V-men.
Yeah, V-men who join women who have already understood that we must stop discrimination, we must stop violences, because we need women, men, and strong men and women in the world to work for the development of the world. Without strong women, because when you rape, you violated the right of women, you are destroying her. You destroy her body. You destroy her mind. You destroy her life. So if you destroy the life of women, how do you want the world to be developed? We need strong women. We need women with all their health, all their strength to join the men and to go together to build the world, a good world where it will be better living. Yeah.
And if this appeals to you, you can join the women dancing in Portland, at Bates College. They're going to be offering a big 1 Billion Rising Day in Portsmouth at University of New Hampshire and Durham. There's going to be a parade in Kennebunk. And you can learn the dance steps and join in the action wherever you are, anywhere. Yes. Go on to 1billionrising.org and you can put in your place and see what's happening in your community. Maybe it's the vagina monologues, maybe it's some dancing for V-Day, for 1 Billion Rising.
Yes. We are joining to when, even in the house, when you have just a space, you meet people, you need to express something, you can just talk about that, you can dance, you can learn the dance, and that is big. That will be very good because even those men who understood that they have to join women and fight with them, that took a time to sensitize them, to make them understand that we must work together, and everybody is responsible of that work, because we need to change the world. Maybe we are in America, everything maybe is okay, but we must know that around the world there are women who are every day suffering for things you can't imagine.
We can't, yeah, imagine it, but it's not okay here. Every 2 minutes, a woman in America is assaulted or raped. So we're not okay. We may not know about it, but we're not. It's bad here too. And 1 billion rising, when it started and continues to be the biggest mass action to end violence against women in human history. So if you want to join in part of human history, go to 1billionrising.org and sign on.
Yeah.
Radelphine, I love your passion for justice, and I'm moved by your work with women in Eastern DRC.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to visit with you, and thank you for being willing to come on New Mainers Speak today.
Yes, it was my pleasure to talk about that. You know, every time we can have a space to talk about human rights, because it's universal everywhere I am. I could even come back another day. It's okay. So it's okay. As long as people need to know what information in everywhere around the world, that's okay. Thank you. So it was my pleasure to be here.
You're very generous. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com or check out the show's Facebook page, Facebook/newmainersspeak. You can also find links there to relevant sites like 1billionrising.org. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Radelphine Katabeja. You have been listening to New Mainers Speak. We will close today's program with a song that Radelphine has selected for us. And I wonder if you can introduce us to Break the Chain.
Yes. Yes. Thank you to find that song. Break the Chain is the song of 1 Billion Rising. It's the one song that women dance around the world. There is a dance, so you can just break the chain, break the rules, and try to dance, get your space, and express yourself.
Excellent. Join us for this dance.